Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We may live over 5,000 miles from Lincoln Financial Field, but what we lack in proximity, we make up for in film study. And each and every week, we'll be bringing you in-depth film breakdowns from across the pond and the Sooner State. Welcome to On the Shane Page. I'm your host, Shane Half. You can follow me on Twitter at ShaneHalfNFL. And I'm joined by BGN's film guru, Johnny Page. Give him a follow on Twitter at JohnnyPage9. Johnny, how are you doing this evening?
I always start, Shane, by saying I'm doing well, but I'm not really doing great this week, so I am okay. Last week I said I was ill. I had my honey and ginger tea, and it appears that my body is now approaching 30 and does not want to get better. So it turns out I'm still ill. So today, if you're watching live on YouTube, or not live on YouTube, but that's not how YouTube works. If you're watching on YouTube, you're going to try and count the amount of times that I cough and mute myself at the same time. So I will hopefully avoid all of the coughs on the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, you may see me hit the mute button a lot. But yeah, except for that, I'm okay. I was speaking off air. I'm away tomorrow, so we're doing this a day early. I'm flying to Iceland. I don't know if anyone in America even knows anything about Iceland at all. It's very small. It's very cold. I don't know how you do your weather thing in America with your Fahrenheit stuff. So I looked it up for you. It's currently -5 centigrade. And I believe, I looked it up now, I've forgotten it. The -5 centigrade is about 23 Fahrenheit or something. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I was going to guess around 20, but...
So there you go.
I don't
so
know
when you're
for
ill,
sure.
That's exactly what you want, is to spend 5 days outside, walking around with very little sleep. But there we go. Except for that, I'm good. I spent quite a lot of weekend actually watching Sam and Eagle's new guys as well in a little bit more detail. So yeah, we've got... Today's a bit of a random episode. I guess I got some takes about some of them. We'll sort of throw them in. I feel like free agency's sort of come to a close now, hasn't it? There might be a few trades. It feels like a good time to do an episode where we sort of take stock of the roster pre-draft, because we'll probably get in some draft stuff in April or so. Anyway, how are you as well?
It's funny that you looked up the Fahrenheit equivalent of a temperature for me, because I did the same thing for you. So we're still undergoing our renovation here, and we got insulation this week on the walls, but still not on the attic. So we're still can't run our heater at night. We're tucked away in bedrooms with space heaters, but the main part of our house was about 9 degrees Celsius this morning when we woke up. So a little chilly, hard to get out of bed and go to breakfast in those conditions.
Wait, 9 degrees Celsius?
Yes.
Your house was?
Yes.
That is
in the kitchen.
Mental. What are you doing? That is, surely you can get like an electronic heater or something, one of those like plug-in heaters. Sure.
Well, I have those in my bedroom and where our kids sleep. So those are fine. It's just getting out of the bedroom, you're greeted with an icy blast.
I will not complain anymore then, Shane. At all. 9 degrees is absurd. Right. Do you want to explain what we're going to do today? Because we planned this about 5 minutes ago, which is always good. So
yeah,
how are we going to
sure.
do this?
And I like feel like our audio listeners got left out in the see how many times Johnny coughs game for the YouTube crowd. So if you're listening and not watching, maybe you just count how many times you actually hear Johnny cough, how many times he misses that mute button, and you can
I'm not gonna miss. Ooh. I've already coughed once, so if you're listening, there you go, you missed that. And also, I'd like everyone to know that I actually have a pen and a paper today, and I'm taking handwritten notes, Shane, which is very unusual, mainly because my mouse has run out of battery and I can't be bothered to use a little thing on my laptop to change tabs without closing this down. So I'm going old school with my Eagles needs. Right, explain what we're doing. Explain how we're going to do it to the lovely, lovely listeners.
Okay, so now that the initial dust has settled on free agency, and you know, certainly there'll be players that sign between now and the draft, and there'll be a wave of signing after the draft as well. But we wanted to take a look at the Eagles roster with the new free agent acquisitions and sort of rank the Eagles' needs heading into the draft. And so We're going to just briefly go through each position, talk about who's on the roster, and basically categorize that that position group as a day one need, want to draft this position in the first round, a day two need, which is second and third round, a day three need, or just not a need at all. Please don't draft someone here. So we will start at the top of the roster. We'll walk through offense first, then defense. And so we'll start at quarterback, where the Eagles have, of course, Jalen Hurts. They made the trade for Kenny Pickett. They selected Tanner McKee in last year's draft, and they just recently signed Will Greer. And so that is the quarterback room for the Eagles. Johnny, I'm going to say that's not a need. You bring in Kenny Pickett. He has 2 years on his deal. Tanner McKee is your developmental guy with 3 years on the deal. I would be surprised if, as much as the Eagles like to draft quarterbacks, I would be surprised if we see even a day three quarterback from the Eagles this year.
Yeah, I really hope we don't agree on everything, Shane, for the sake of the podcast, but I'm not going to lie, just to create discussion. I feel like we'd be terrible at that. I feel like everyone would see straight through us. So that was, in fact, I won't spoil my other answers either, but I had that as a NA as well. So that was, I didn't have that as any day. I think quite simply, Tanner McKee is the one you develop. He's like your young, long-term guy. He's your QB3. Kenny Pickett is as good as it gets in many ways for a backup quarterback for 2 years. And I don't count Will Greer as a person. I think he's just going to be a camp body. And I think he'll just teach them the system and be in the room. Maybe stay on the practice squad because the places are pretty high these days. But I don't think it's a need. I think even Howie Roseman would be mad to take a quarterback because Tanner McKee looked quite good last year. He showed some promise as a rookie. You feel like there could be something to develop him there. You could maybe develop him into a QB2 long term. So I have it as a zero need at all, which is nice, isn't it? Most important position in sports. And I do not have it as a need in the slightest.
Yeah, that's always nice. So let's move on to the next position. We'll go to running back, where the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley to the big contract, which is essentially a 2-year deal in free agency. They have Kenny Gainwell, and I believe he's entering the final year of his contract. And then other players on the running back depth chart is Lou Nicholas, who's definitely a person I've totally heard of before, and Tyrion Davis Price, who is, I actually have heard of him before, but I could not tell you a ton about him. Johnny, where would you place running back as a need for the Eagles?
So I actually went back and forth on this quite a lot because I like the running back class. I really like the day two running back class this year. Like, we're not going to do draft stuff. I'm not very far into the draft stuff this year, but guys like Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Marshall Lloyd, Trey Benson, I sort of liked Jalen Wright in that second, third round. Then the Eagles obviously went out and signed Saquon Barkley, and that changed everything. I sort of feel like with Saquon, you just run him into the ground for 2 years. As horrible as that sounds, I feel like he's going to be the guy, and you don't really worry about him 5 years down the line. You basically just give him a hell of a workload. I would like something else. Just because I think running back position, where you still want to keep people fresh if you can. I still like Gainwell as a running back too. So I sort of want to put it in day two just because I like some of the guys in day two. But I went for day three in the end. Maybe looking at somebody who is more of an explosive running back in somebody who could take like a few carries a game, maybe one or two catches. But I guess the issue is if Barkley goes down, you're then relying on Gainwell a lot. But I think the thing about running back is you can get so many decent running backs in day three that I think I would leave it as a day three need personally and not a day two at this point. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I have it as a day three need. I wouldn't be upset with taking a running back on day two. I think you should be taking a running back on day three, like at least every other year, to cycle through those guys. The cupboard is pretty bare behind those top two guys. But the problem is I've only got four total running backs with a day two grade right now. And one of them has a pretty major medical red flag. And so, I just don't think the opportunity and the fit is right there. So I'll plug that in as a day three need. It's a position they should definitely take someone, but I'm totally fine and wait until one of their, they have 4 5th round picks. You can go get a running back there and I'll be just fine.
Yep. I'm with you. Right. I think next one's interesting. So wide receiver, you start this one. Where have you got?
Okay.
By the way, at the end, we will rank them within tiers, within day one, two, and three as well. But I quite like the idea of doing this if it, as a pre-draft one. It's like where it's actually quite interesting when you put them together, like sort of having these lay out as well. But anyway, where do you go? Where'd you go wide receiver?
Yeah, so wide receiver, obviously the Eagles have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. They have acquired Paris Campbell and Devontae Parker out of free agency. Obviously, they still have Britton Covey and some other guys that nobody would know their names. Anyways, I'm going to put that as a day two need. I would not be upset if the Eagles took a wide receiver at the first round. It is a tremendously deep wide receiver class, in my opinion, but there's three guys that are really close. And then pretty much from like receiver number four to receiver number 15, they're virtually indistinguished. I mean, there's differences, but placing those guys is really hard. It's a great year to take a receiver in the second round. And, you know, as the news broke last week while we were on the podcast about Jerry Jeudy's contract, and I said, you should be taking a day two wide receiver every single draft. And the Eagles are no exception this year. So I'll put that as a day two need.
We're totally going to agree on like everything, aren't we? You can just see it, the people moaning. So I'm not changing for the sake of it. I would really like, if the Eagles don't come out with a wide receiver in the top 50 or 60 picks this year, then they're morons because the class is ridiculously good. Despite that, I went day two as well. I would not be annoyed at all if they went day one. Like, obviously, they're not going to get any of the top three, but if someone like a Briar Thomas is there, then I would all be for that in the first. I know there were some rumors about, not rumors, whether there were mock drafts that had them taking like Xavier Worthy in the first round, which I just think would be a complete and utter bizarre choice considering the roster they've got right now. They have to take someone in the second or third round just because the class is too good, but it's not a first round need. It may be a luxury, but when you've got Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, and AJ Brown, it's not a need. What I would say is I am a sucker, Shane, for people that I liked in the draft. And I went back and looked at Paris Campbell. So this has not been released yet because it's in part two of my sort of free agency breakdowns. And I went back and read my scouting report of Paris Campbell. And I obviously got him wrong, if you want to say inverted commas, because he's not very good. And I liked him. But when it's funny sometimes when you rank players, like I can have someone as a second round pick and people say, oh, you got it wrong. And then you actually read what you say about him. And actually, I feel like I got it relatively okay. So this was my scouting report of him back in 2019. I said, everything he does is fast. Literally everything. And I think that can be to a detriment as well. He can't get off press. So he will be as a Z or a slot receiver at the next level. His routes need a lot of refinement and he's extremely raw. However, he simply has electric speed and can run past off coverage. He has great speed to get yards after the catch on drag, curls, etc. He will be an explosive player no matter where he lands. But the question is he a legitimate weapon or just an explosive package player? So even though I gave him a second round pick, within my like summary, I'm essentially saying I don't know if he's actually going to be a starter. And basically, he's not. So he's not turned out to be a legitimate receiver. He has turned out to be a package player. But we spoke when we spoke about Kellen Moore about the need to get somebody to run wide receiver jet sweeps, reverses, etc. And that is the guy. Like that is literally the guy. I've got in the article some clips from Paris Campbell running a lot of jet sweeps, which is just awesome. I think he played for Ohio State. I'm rubbish with uniforms. But it's just really cool. Like really, really cool. So although I think it's a need, I'm not saying Paris Campbell should change what the Eagles do. At least they've got someone there now because they simply didn't have anyone before. Like Devontae Parker didn't count. He's not going to play that. So at least they've got somebody. I don't think it should change their draft sort of thoughts, but at least they have someone who at the worst case scenario can run those sort of package plays or trick plays. Maybe it means they don't have to worry about like moving up for a receiver just to simply have a body. But I agree with you. I only wanted to talk about that because we hadn't spoken about Paris Campbell on the podcast. I like Paris Campbell. But I have it as like a high day two. I really, really, really want them to get one of those tier two receivers. I don't necessarily think it'll be in the first round. The only thing I would say is the wide receiver class is so good. Weirdly, you'd think teams might wait because there's so many good players. Sometimes it has the opposite effect and there'll just be a huge run on them. And the Eagles might look at the board at by 22 and they might already be like, who knows, five or six gone. And then they sort of panic. So we'll see, but I would have it in the day two category as well.
All right. Well, let's move on to tight end, where the Eagles bring back Dallas Goedert, Grant Calcaterra, Albert O, Noah Taggiai. They did lose. I'm totally blanking. Jack Stoll. They lost Jack Stoll. So, Johnny, how would you classify the Eagles' tight end need?
Yeah, I am a big 12 personnel guy, like a big, big, big 12 personnel guy. So incredibly tempted to put this higher than you think. I would go day two, but I'm not miles away from the first. Like I like Dallas Goedert, but he struggles to stay healthy. And my whole thing about tight ends, and I'm a huge believer in 12 personnel, as I mentioned multiple times on this podcast, is you simply have to be able to do both. And what I mean by that is if you've got a tight end who can only catch and he can't block, it's not 12 personnel because defenses will just play nickel. And if you have a tight end that can only block and can't do anything in the receiving game, again, it's not 12 personnel because teams will just play base and they won't worry about it. So I didn't count Jack Stoll as a proper tight end too. I like Albert O as an athlete, but I don't count him as a tight end too. So maybe there could be a sneaky tight end pick. But again, in this, I'm trying to ignore this class when I pick my needs. There's no one worth taking at 22 because Bowers will be gone. But as an actual need itself, I think it's high. And spoiler alert for later on in the podcast, I'm still debating amongst myself what I think is a bigger need between tight end and wide receiver. Because I really like 12 personnel. I think it fits the Eagles so well schematically. It's very basic analysis, but you go 12 personnel, the defense often matches in base, you get single higher, you throw outside of numbers. Football sometimes very simple. And I think you can argue that Saquon Barkley even more. You go 12 personnel and you have Saquon Barkley in there and two good tight ends. Teams are going to have to stack the box. Like, good luck playing two deep safeties when you've got Saquon Barkley and two tight ends and you're running the ball and you're running maybe Kenny Moore more like duo power. Like, I think tight end is a sneaky big need, and I'm going back and forth in my mind between where I put it. But I'm going day two. I haven't decided between tight end and wide receiver. I'm guessing this is another one we're going to agree, Shane, unless you're going to shock me and go higher.
Yeah, I would have it a day two slash maybe day three, but that's probably letting the draft class seep into that decision-making a little bit too much. Because like you mentioned, Brock Bowers is going to be long gone. Jatavion Sanders is probably on the board in that range. And then you get into guys that, you know, Ben Sinnott, Cade Stover, Theo Johnson, those are probably like round three, four guys. And so I'm not sure that the value will be there at the Eagles selection, but it is a position I would like to see them get. As much as I like Albert O, I mean, he's been moved on from in Denver. He couldn't find the field in Philadelphia. And you've got Dallas Goedert, a guy that has struggled to stay healthy over the last couple seasons and is approaching 30. I know this gets trotted out a lot, but he's the same age now that Zach Ertz was when the Eagles drafted Dallas Goedert in the second round. And so that's a distinct possibility. I would not be mad at all if they took Jatavion Sanders in with one of those second round picks, but I'll put it as a day two need.
Right, we agree. Because we're lazy, we're not going to break down offensive line into separate positions. Let's just do it as a whole. Because I think these days you get so many players anyway, like the Tyler Steens, who, where do you even classify him as anyway? You get players that can play both very commonly in the league nowadays. So this maybe will be an interesting one because I'm still a little bit, I'm really surprised they let Driscoll go. Really surprised. I don't know how much money he got. But I thought that was like one of him or a Petta would be like a guaranteed return. So do you want to quickly run through who they've actually got currently and where you would put it as a need then?
Yes, it is. I'm on the wrong tab. So they return four of the five starters from last year. Jason Kelce obviously left, which shifts Cam Jurgens to center. Right now, our lads has Tyler Steen as the starting right guard. They obviously signed Matt Hennessy, who we talked about last week, that has center experience. He's also got left guard experience, although he hasn't played right guard. So, you know, if Jurgens really struggles snapping, he could be the center. Jurgens could go to right guard. If Tyler Steen's not the guy, maybe you flip Matt Hennessy to right guard. Those are certainly options that are around. And then it's names that have been around for a while. LaRaven Clark, Brett Toth, Fred Johnson, guys like that. So I'm going to say offensive line is a day one need. I would not be happy if the Eagles drafted an offensive tackle that's only an offensive tackle to sit behind Lane Johnson for 2 years. But now that Jason Kelce's gone and it opens up a spot in that offensive line, I would be perfectly fine with taking a right tackle that can play right guard right now or taking a Jackson Powers Johnson or a Graham Barton to just play guard for, you know, their career. Those are some options that I think are available. We know the Eagles like to invest into the offensive line, and I don't see any reason that changes here, especially now that there is an opening.
We need like the explosive sound of that. We disagree. I would not go day one. I have a few reasons why, basically, and they could be absolute nonsense. I think the five starters are good. I feel like Tyler Steen's a third round pick. You spoke a lot last year about how the Eagles are not very good at playing offensive linemen that they draft, basically. And Tyler Steen now needs snaps. And I think a lot of teams can carry one weak offensive lineman. And then we still get used to the Eagles having like five stars of late. And it's unusual. You should be able to scheme around a decent guard if you've got an elite tackle, two elite tackles, a really, really good. I mean, the left guard is the highest paid left guard essentially there is. I have a stupid amount of confidence in Cam Jurgens, Shane, and I put way too much confidence in preseason watching him play center. I really think he's going to excel at center. I like Matt Hennessy as a backup. I still think there's something with Fred Johnson there. I think they need something, but my theory with this Eagles team at the moment, especially with Barkley on a two-year deal and AJ Brown being his age, is I feel like the Eagles are on a little bit of a two-year window. I feel like the Eagles had like almost like a mini rebuild, but they're not rebuilding this year. You don't sign Saquon Barkley if you're not playing. Like, they are full-on competing. So I have them as like a two-year window. And I think that maybe they reset in 2 years when Barkley's deal runs out. AJ Brown's possibly at that point a few years older. Maybe Lane Johnson's gone by that point as well while retiring. I think that might be the stage to then start again. I wouldn't draft an offensive lineman high. Not in the first, and I think the Eagles probably will, by the way. I personally would be happy to roll with Tyler Steen and Hennessy as a backup and then get a day two offensive lineman, plus maybe a camp body or a free agent, which is why I'm annoyed they didn't bring back Jack Driscoll, because I thought Driscoll was perfect. I'm going to also give you a really revolutionary take, Shane, which I don't do many hot takes. I just don't believe that Jason Kelce is not going to come out of retirement if this team's really good and they need an offensive lineman. So I'm going to be really stupid and count him as an option. Like, I think if disaster strikes, this team are 10-2 and Cam Jurgens goes down, or Tyler Steen is awful and Matt Hennessy is awful, I just think he could come back. Like, maybe I'm completely head in the sand here. I'm living a dream. But I'm almost willing to slightly count that when I'm looking at the Eagles' offensive line depth. And that may sound mental, but I genuinely am, like, willing to take a chance on that. I also think there's an argument that people have said we haven't got a backup tackle, but I think Tyler Steen could just be your backup tackle. You could go and draft a guard. I mean, you can get starting guards in day two easily. They could go and draft a starting guard. And then you've got Tyler Steen as your backup swing tackle at both positions. So I'm going day two, partly because I still believe in Jason Kelce and I'm not willing to accept he's retired emotionally. So I've gone with day two. And some people in the comments might laugh at me when I say that I'm counting Jason Kelce. I'm counting him as like a 10th offensive lineman. If you had to tell me like whether to put money, I would say I'm like genuinely like 50-50 on whether he plays this year. I just think he's too good not to come back if this team's really good and there's an obvious need for him. So I am going to say day two because I'm an idiot and I can't emotionally accept that Jason Kelce is gone.
I have a feeling that Kylie Kelce might want a word. She might not be too keen on your plan.
He can do a few weeks. It's the off-season that kills these players. It's the off-season. It's the months of training. How much does Jason Kelce need to be a half-decent center? I reckon he'd be good to go. Late November, early December. Eagles 10-3, 10-2. Jason Kelce's back. Quote me on it if I'm right. If I'm wrong, I didn't say this. Unless you go back on the recording, of course. That's the downside of podcasts rather than writing. No one can be bothered to search for the writing.
These are the types of things you say on podcasts, not on Twitter, because it's a lot harder to search a podcast than it is to search your tweet history.
I will not tweet that take. But yeah, we have our first disagreement. I'm going day two, offensive line. And I might be further behind than some people might think when it comes to ranking. Right,
I'm going to move on from the offensive to the defense. I'm going
to
pull this clip and I'm going to tweet it and tag you in it with your take. So it's now searchable on Twitter.
Brilliant. Thank you. Much appreciated. When Jason Kelce never plays again.
So Johnny's got Jason Kelce coming back. He's probably got Fletcher Cox coming out of retirement for the NFC title game. Get the band back together.
Cox is done. He's not Jason Kelce. Sorry, Fletch.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, let's go to edge rusher, where it's interesting. So the Eagles have Hassan Reddick. They have Brandon Graham. They have, it's really hard to read the depth chart here, but they have Josh Sweat, Bryce Huff. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Hassan Reddick, obviously. There's been rumors around him getting traded. I'm starting to think that he's just going to be on this team for another year, and that fits with your theory of like a 2-year window and you're going to go try to win one. But where would you classify edge rusher as a need for this team? Given that you have a first round pick from a year ago, you got Josh Sweat, you got a priority free agent signing in Bryce Huff. You probably are on Brandon Graham's last year that he plays, and Hassan Reddick is still looming.
I have no idea. But basically the Hassan Reddick thing's huge.
Let's assume for the purposes of doing this that Reddick's on the team, because he's on the team now, so that's all we can do.
I accept your premise and I disagree with it. I'm going to ignore what you say, Shane. I'm going to assume that he's gone. And I'm doing this based on no reports, no rumors, just gut feeling. They're too light. Bryce Huff to me is Reddick's replacement. Like, I don't see how your edge defenders are Huff, Nolan Smith, and Hassan Reddick. I might annoy the people, and I'm going to go day one. I think edge is a real need. I'm not as high on a lot of the Eagles' edge defenders as some are online. So firstly, I'm going to assume that Reddick's gone, and you can disagree with me. That's perfectly fine. I just think they're too light. I love Brandon Graham, but I think Brandon Graham's not really an edge these days. He's essentially a pass-rushing defensive tackle on third and long. Then you look at it, Josh Sweat had a bit of a nightmare the last 5-6 weeks, and there's then trade rumors, and I worry that the team's not fully there with his health. So you've basically got, in my opinion, like Huff, Smith, and Sweat. I'm not sure about Nolan Smith. Sorry, everyone out there who loves him. I wasn't last year. I saw him more of a day two guy, not a first round pick. I think he's more like of a jack of all trades type player, not an edge specialist. And I think he needs a lot of work. Even if Nolan Smith's really good, Bryce Huff's a huge projection, like a huge projection, because he's just simply not been a full-time player in this defense. And I just don't think you can have too many pass rushers. Even if, let's say Nolan Smith's really good, let's say Josh Sweat comes back to form, and let's say Bryce Huff is everything they want, you can still have 4 edge rushers. Like, that's not impossible. I am quite a big believer on this defensive line needs to get better. And I'm also a big believer on they need more young talent on defense, full stop. So I'm going to annoy people and put edge as a first round need. I am assuming Reddick goes. You are correct. If Reddick stays, it's not a first round need. For the purpose of this, I still think they're too light. I will say, I went back because I'm a very sad man. I watched a bit of Zach Bourne, the guy that they signed, we spoke about last week very briefly, who Bleacher Report compared him to Sam Reddick. I'm sort of intrigued by him. Like, basically, I didn't realize last week when we were talking about him, I went back and watched a little bit of him as well. And, like, he did play a little bit of edge rusher this year, whereas he's been a linebacker at the past. And he had a rep that I tweeted. And no, I didn't tweet it, actually. I just stuck it in the article, where he just walked past Penei Sewell. And you sort of looked at it. And I remember he had 12 and a half sacks at Wisconsin. And then I heard his comments. And basically, the Eagles seem to think he can do a bit of everything. But he gave these comments when he was asked the other day. When asked about playing off-ball linebacker, he said, "At times, I think I'd be lying if it wasn't frustrating waiting for my opportunity. But I just put my head down and kept working. And if I didn't get opportunities on the edge, I'd get them elsewhere." And I think it's pretty clear that he wants to rush a quarterback. So who knows? Maybe Zach Bourne is someone I should count. And I probably should add him as well. So I'm sort of talking myself out of putting it as day one. I'm going to put it as day one just because I think it's such a big position in the Fangio defense. I think you need edge rushers that can play edge in a 4-3. You need edge rushers that can play edge in a 5-man front. For example, Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith, you're not playing a 4-2 front on first down, having your 4-3 defensive ends as Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff. If they are, fair play. And when I say 4-3, I should say 4-2, be a 4-2-5. I don't see that. I don't see them being starting. So I think you could go and get like an edge defender who could do a little bit of both, a little bit versatile. I'm going to stick to my guns, although I'm talking myself out of it when I talk through the depth chart and still just about go day one. I've got a feeling we're going to disagree again, or are you going to surprise and agree with me? But if you're keeping Reddit, you're not going to agree with me, surely.
Yeah, I'm going to list it as a day two need. I think the longer it goes on, the less likely I think it is you move on from Reddick. And after Brian Burns moves for a second round pick, like, why are you trading? Why would you trade Hassan Reddick for anything less than a second round pick when you're in a Super Bowl window and you just pushed your chips into the table with a Saquon Barkley signing? And I just don't think you're going to get a second round pick if that's what Brian Burns went for. So I'm not going to move him for a third round pick when I can let him play the final year of his deal. And then he can walk in free agency and I can probably net a third round compensatory pick for him next offseason when I'm going to be tighter against the cap for free agency anyway. So I just am starting to get the feeling Reddick will be here. I think it's a need for developmental purposes because, again, it's possible Reddick, Sweat, and Graham are all gone next year. And then you really need somebody. So second round, look at guys like Darius Robinson out of Missouri, Braylon Trice out of Washington, both. Darius Robinson, especially, really good run defender. Those would be some intriguing options for me, but I'll leave that at day two.
Right, interesting. You went weird, by the way. You did edge before defensive line, which is definitely backwards, no? Surely we do.
I don't know. I always list edge. It probably comes from years of playing Madden and defensive end as before defensive tackle on the depth chart.
That's an absolute shocker. I was going to mention it when you already were talking, but you've had a nightmare there. Go backwards and do defensive line. Do you want me to start or do you want to go?
I'll go. So we've got obviously the back-to-back first round picks in Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, both of which the Eagles traded up for. They have Milton Williams. They have Moro Ajomo, Marlon Tuipulotu, Noah Ellis. So there's some top-end talent there with two first-round picks. There's a lot of depth, guys. I think it really comes down to trying to figure out how Fangio is going to align these guys. Is he going to play three defensive tackles on the field together? Because if so, you know, how much can Jordan Davis stand up for? How much, you know, can Jalen Carter play without falling off at the end of the year like he did last year? The Eagles heavily, heavily believe on winning on the interior of your defensive line. And you sort of have to, if your linebackers are going to be so bad and you're going to play so light on the edge. That said, I am not putting a first round need here for defensive tackle because you've done it 2 years in a row. Those guys have to stand. I'll say it's a second round or a day two thing though. I could see you going on a day two interior defensive lineman. Just to add into that rotation, Milton Williams is coming up on the end of his deal. I believe Marlon Tuipulotu should be as well. And so you could just sort of refresh those depth pieces on day two.
Yeah, I'm going to go day two as well. I was very tempted to go day one because I'm a huge Jordan Davis skeptic and I'm scared how much the Eagles are trusting him. But I love Jalen Carter. I love Milton Williams. Ajomo is my guy. I think he could be a legit defensive tackle for this team. Then on third down, you've got Brandon Graham that can line up inside and rush the passer. I even don't mind Tuipulotu too much as a backup nose tackle. All that said, I still have concerns, mainly because I have concerns about Jordan Davis. And if he was the real deal and was playing 50 snaps a game, I'd be putting this towards the end of day two, day three. I am still going to go day two. I'll be honest, I was very tempted to go day one, very tempted, because I'm terrified of the Eagles linebackers. And I think they're asking so much of their defensive tackles. They need a beefy, big defensive tackle. I don't think you have to go and get one in the first round. I think they've got pass rushers now. Carter and Williams can rush a quarterback. You've got players you can bring up inside like Graham. I think they need a run-stuffing defensive tackle in the early rounds. I don't think that's a need for the first round. So I'm going to agree with you and go day two.
All right. Let's go to the next position, which is linebacker, where Johnny, congratulations. You are a starter for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2024 at linebacker. So obviously they signed Devin White. They have N'Kobe Dean and Ben Van Sumeren. And that's mostly it. They signed Oren Burks, Zach Bond, but maybe he's more of an edge rusher. Where are you going with linebacker here?
I have no idea. I'm going Zach Bourne as edge. Oren Burks is like, I watched him a little bit. Okay. Didn't have a particularly great game when he played in the Super Bowl. But he was the 49ers linebacker free. And, you know, 49ers have got two of the best linebackers in the league in Greenlaw and Fred Warner. But he was still their third option. And I think some people quite like him. Some people say decent things about him. I'm terrified of N'Kobe Dean. I'm terrified of Devin White. I still think I'm such a Howie Roseman type of guy that I still wouldn't put it at day one, because just positional value, unless, I know I'm saying we're trying not to talk prospects here, unless there's an absolute superstar, I think they need someone else. But I weirdly like Ben Van Sumeren. I think at the end of the day, whether you like the deal or not, they put their eggs in the Devin White basket. And that's something they obviously were willing to do, and they see him as a starter. I think you've got to give Dean a shot. I just wish he was healthy. It's a big need. Like, it's a big need. I'm debating. Oh, do I change? Oh, I don't like doing this. Why did we agree to do this on the podcast, Shane? I'll stick with top of day two. But I easily could put it in day one. And that's probably because I'm a terrible human being who's been brought up in the Harry Roseman positional value world. So I will stick with top of day two, but I was very as close as you can get almost to day one.
There's no circumstance that would ever lead me to list linebacker as a day one need. So I don't know if that makes you feel better that I'm in that boat.
More Harry Roseman than I am.
Yeah. I mean, now that doesn't mean if like Fred Warner was in this draft class, I wouldn't go get him, but there's very few linebackers that I would ever take in the first round. So I've got it as a day two need. It's a big need, but there's just bigger needs that I want to devote day one capital to. So I'm with you there. And we're coming up on where I will definitely say there's day one needs, and that's the cornerback position. So the Eagles have Darius Slay. They have James Bradbury, Eli Ricks, Josh Jobes, Keely Ringo, Zach McPherson. They will get Isaiah Rogers back. This cornerback is an absolute day one need for me. Now, a lot of people have talked about, well, Isaiah Rogers can play the slot, Keely Ringo on the outside, and we're good to go. Isaiah Rogers isn't a slot cornerback. He's played on the outside. So maybe you're kicking him inside, but that's not where he's typically played. Keely Ringo, I loved. I had a first-round grade on Ringo in his draft. I think he was my number 24 overall player, but he fell to day three for a reason, and he should have probably played more last year, but he's still relatively inexperienced, and so I'm not comfortable walking into a year with Isaiah Rogers, who doesn't play the slot in the slot, Keely Ringo, who wasn't a starter for the majority of the year as a starter, and Darius Slay out there just hoping he stays healthy and doesn't fall off a cliff like James Bradbury did. So I think corner is a massive, massive need for this team. I think it's the biggest need for this team. And so that's an easy day one need for me.
Yep, I am going to agree. I'm now looking at my list, and I really should have written down as I've got like mad scientist, Shane. There's scribbles all over my paper. It's all weird. I'm trying to figure out what else I've actually said is a day one need. I feel like I've been close and never have.
You said... I've got you. I've been writing them down. So you said edge is the day one need. Yeah. I said O-line was the day one need. And that's all we have up until
there. We go. Quarterback is my number one. I don't trust Bradbury. I think Darius Slay is awesome. And I think he's much better than Eagles fans give him credit for. But he's getting old. And I think you can't have too many corners in this league. I think you want to have four good starters, essentially, because the way the league is going, the Cambridge good wide receivers are coming out every year. Teams are going to start going four wide. They're going to go three wide all the time. They already are. You need good cornerbacks. And the Eagles' two best cornerbacks, or two best, but two most experienced. That's a stupid statement. I was going to say the two most experienced are old. What I'm trying to say is the two likely starters are old. It's a better way of saying it. Even if Slay's good this year, they're going to need to move on. And I like Tyler Hall, the look of him. I don't really get why the Raiders let him go, to be honest, because I'm trying to figure out, because every Raiders fan seems to like him. Isaiah Rogers, we've not seen for ages. The two young guys you mentioned, Ringo and Ricks, maybe remains to be seen. So I have cornerback as a definite, definite day one need as well.
All right, and that brings us to safety, where the Eagles brought back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Obviously, Reed Blankenship still on the roster. Sidney Brown will be coming off of that ACL injury. Where do you see safety slotting in?
Yeah, this is another weird one, isn't it? It depends where you see. If you see Chauncey Gardner-Johnson as a straight-up safety, then I actually think it's a good combination of him and Blankenship. Then you got Sidney Brown, hopefully coming back. So you got three, not the end of the world, but you need another one. Because of positional value, similar to linebacker, I'm not going to go first. But it's a day two need. I think they need another one. I don't think they necessarily need a guaranteed starter, but I think they need one or two more who can fulfill the role that Fangio needs. But I don't think it's as big of a need as some say, because I'm a huge Blankenship fan. And I'm a huge Chauncey Gardner-Johnson fan. And I also really like Sidney Brown. So I like three of the guys they've got. But I think maybe one or two depth pieces. So I would go day two.
It's day one for me.
Safeties.
Wow. I'm not on the positional value safety train. Safeties are the queens of Vic Fangio's chessboard. He needs them to be able to do so much. And I'm sort of cheating the system here, combining cornerback and safety, because I'm totally fine with you drafting. Now, there's not a spoiler. There's not a safety I'd take in the first round of this year's draft, unless you view Cooper DeJean as a safety. But if you end up taking a safety high, and I'm totally fine with you putting Chauncey Gardner-Johnson as your slot cornerback. And so I think there's some flexibility there, but you need to walk out of the draft with a starter at either at cornerback or at safety that's going to allow Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to fill a cornerback role. And bonus points if there's versatility in between those. Like a pairing of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Cooper DeJean together would be really intriguing for me, because I think you could walk out there and go, which one of those guys is the safety for this play? I don't really know. And it would allow you to do some interesting things. So I'm going to say safety is a one, but I'm kind of really just combining that into defensive backs is a first rounder for me.
Yeah, no, I can see that. If Chauncey's the starting nickel cornerback, then I agree. Massive, massive need. I think I'm really high on Blankenship, maybe more than the average fan. Right. So I think I've got my list. Should we go through and compare then, and maybe sort of have like rough tiers of what we've done? So we've both got cornerback as our biggest need. Definitely.
Yes, round cornerback one. Is definitely round one.
The only
and then
other
there's,
first round there, I had was edge. Yep.
Yeah, there's three positions where one of us had first and one had second, and that is offensive line, edge rusher, and safety.
So in terms of an order, I would go cornerback, then edge. I've been sitting here going mental, staring at a piece of paper, drawing squiggles everywhere. I think after going cornerback and edge, I would go, and you could sort of convince me a little bit, despite my Jason Kelce theory, I may have pushed offensive line up a little bit since you convinced me. I think I would go offensive line, wide receiver, safety, linebacker, tight end, as my day in that order as day two. And I'm literally reading scribbles of notes here. So this is why you don't have them right on podcast. So to repeat, I'd go offensive line, wide receiver, safety, linebacker, tight end. And then cornerback and edge would be my first. And then my only day three I had was running back, and only non-draftable position I had was QB. Makes it sound bad when you put it like that, but I reckon most teams' rosters are probably similar. But there really are only two positions. I feel like you could look at the Eagles and go, yeah, they're pretty set. And that's running back, maybe. And even them are not fully set. And then quarterback. What about your order?
Yeah, overall, I would go... I'm going to just say defensive back. So overall, I would go defensive back, then offensive line, and then I would go linebacker, No, sorry. I would go wide receiver, linebacker, edge rusher, defensive tackle, tight end, I think would be my day two order. So I'll go, I'm pairing defensive back together. A defensive back, offensive line is my top two. And then when I get into day two, I would go wide receiver, linebacker, edge rusher, tight end. And then that leaves running back for day three and quarterback for please don't draft a quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. When you go through the positions, it'd be such a waste. Two things to end with. Bit of a different episode for us today. We went longer than we expected. Of course we do. And that needs to go and pack. But if you listen to the whole thing, firstly, well done. Secondly, please tweet us. So tweet us your own lists because I'm interested to know. I reckon you're going to be more popular. Maybe we should run one of those little like fancy polls, Shane, on Twitter where you can ask people who they agree with the most and then you can look better than me because I think my list has become a bit of a mess. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, comment. For those of you that are watching, this is what I've ended up with of like my crazy notes. It's all going on. Like it's all gone on. I've got there's arrows, there's pointing, there's I've sort of got a bit mad. I feel like what I might do is actually just like listen back to this episode and then listen to what you've said. And I'll probably change my mind and move things around again. But that's why it's quite good to talk about it. I think what's interesting is you really can argue that like I think you can make a case that cornerback, offensive line, wide receiver, safety, edge, linebacker are all like possible day one needs. Like they're not far off. It's a really strong roster the Eagles have got, but it's quite top heavy. You look at positions like wide receiver, really top heavy. Tight end, really top heavy. Offensive line, very top heavy. There's quite a few holes actually when you go down to it, and Harry's gonna have to make some moves and possibly add some vets in free agency still to plug a few of those gaps. Because when you actually go through it, I think reasonable people could argue, as I mentioned, shouldn't maybe cornerback, receiver, safety, O-line, edge. I'm not even including linebacker there. I think you could argue five first-round needs. We're not saying that, but I think you could get some people that would argue, actually, this team could need a first-round caliber player at about five or six different positions, which I'm not sure how worrying it is because we're just doing the Eagles. I bet if we did other teams, we'd be similar, which is why next week, Shane, we'll talk a little bit about some of the NFC East and other NFC rosters a little bit as well, because I feel like people don't hear that very much. I'm in an Eagles bubble online. Most of my fans, I follow in Eagles, and I almost need to do something like this myself. This is like research for me. I need to actually force myself to go and research what the other NFC teams are doing. And I'd be interested to see if we poke as many holes in their rosters pre-draft. Because when you look at the Eagles, they're really, really good at the top. Like, really good at the top. But they've got a lot of space to add talent in that second-tier player.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think there's every team's going to have a lot of holes like that, especially if you're talking like how many positions could you draft in the first round that would be an immediate starter for your team? That number should be pretty high, which is what makes the Eagles' propensity for drafting a first round pick to sit on the bench for a year really frustrating. So as long as they don't do that again, don't Andre Dillard this, don't Nolan Smith this, go draft someone that's going to play. I'll feel pretty good on draft night.
Yeah, fair enough. I think it's a good exercise, though. As I said, before we finish up, tweet us, let us know what you do. And yeah, maybe we'll do a little fancy poll once we listen back and actually see how many times I can change my mind in one episode about where I want to rank people. I actually came in like I had a rough idea, and then you started convincing me on different things. And then I realized that I was banking on Jason Kelce coming back. And at that point, it all went out the window. It all went out the window. And now I'm doubting everything I've said. But there you go.
Don't forget to pull that clip, somebody from Johnny, and tweet that one out there. Tag New Heights. Maybe it'll make their podcast.
Well, Saquon Barkley gave me a few retweets last week, Shane. So I've hit my peak Twitter famous moment. So maybe Jason Kelce can throw it out there on the podcast, just saying categorically he's not coming back. He doesn't, but I'm taking that as proof that he may be as well.
There you go. I mean, honestly, the ball's in your court, Jason. We'll see where that goes. So
there we go.
That's going to do it for this episode of On the Shane Page. Thank you guys for listening. Like Johnny said, tweet us your list, break down your day one, day two needs. Let us know where you come out, who you agree and disagree with. I think it'll make some interesting discussion. We will be back next week. We're going to break down the other teams in the NFC East, some of their key free agent moves, and maybe a couple other like notable teams like the 49ers in the NFC picture. So tune in next week for that. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get all the other shows on the BGN feed. obviously the BGN draft show. We've been breaking down all these prospects, so you can play some catch up there to get ready for the draft. BGN Radio with Jimmy Kimski and Brandon Leegout and all those shows that are out there. You'll get all of those right here in the same feed. So click subscribe, 5-star rating and review is much appreciated. And we will catch you guys next week for another episode.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.